Hallelujah. To those of you that are visiting, let me just explain that we're Pentecostal, and this is what we do. When you come in here, because see, there's people come in, and they are weighted down with the weight of the world is on their shoulders. They don't know what to do. And we just come and pray for them, come in agreement with them according to the word of God. We have seen people walk out of here free, healed, and just the joy of the Lord restored back to them. So we are a Pentecostal church, and we're glad. So I'm not going to hold you a long, long time, but I do want to go over some things about baptism. Now, I want you to understand something about this. Baptism, to be baptized, is very sacred. It's not something that you just do to make your grandma happy. It's not something you do just to because all your family's all done it. This is important. It's a sacred thing, and we'll be talking about it. Baptism is a lot like a wedding ring. This ring right here, this gold band on my finger. When Jim Hamby gave this to me in 1973, my husband, who has passed away, and at the time he passed away, we were married 36 and a half years. And he gave this wedding band to me June of 1973. And when he gave it to me, it was as if we were both saying at that point, you belong to me and I belong to you. There will be no one else in my life, and we both belong to the Lord. When he put this ring on my hand, it was as if we were drawing a line in the sand and we're saying the past is in the past. All relationships that we ever had before is in the past, and any other relationship in my past is considered gone because I pledge to spend my future with you. That's what Jim and I said to each other. That's that. And to me, when I did that, I was just 18 years old when I got married. I don't really advise that, but, things were different back then. But I was 18 years old when I got married. But even at a young age, I knew standing beside this 6'3" man that it was me and him forever. I never thought about it not being forever, and neither did he. We committed to each other. It was me and Jim forever. And on his tombstone, if you ever go out there, you will see that on the bottom of it, it says, with much love, we kept our vows. Because the day after Jim died, I remember I was getting ready to do all the preparations and everything. And the one thought that came to me was, in 36 and a half years, we kept our vows. Till death do we part. And this is what I believe the Lord is saying to us today. When you are being baptized today, when we put you under the water, and when we bring you up, you are saying, from this day forward, I stand with God. I stand with God. I stand with God even if nobody else stands with me. I choose to stand with God when I'm at work or at school. I choose to stand for Jesus Christ in front of my family and my friends. You are making a commitment when you come up out of that water. So I advise you to think about it. This, you know, if you don't get baptized today, we'll be doing it again. We got a pool now. Hey, you know, so. What you're saying is the world is behind me and the cross is before me. You're saying I pledge to make Jesus Christ the Lord of my life. No more looking back. No more looking back at the world and all it holds. But I'm committing my life and my future to the Lord Jesus Christ. I choose to live for him for the rest of my life. No turning back. No, what's back there anyway? You've already been there and you see that it didn't work. That's why you're here this morning. To those that are new, just to let you know, I'm not fluffy. I just, the older I get, the more direct I get. Oh well. I got to tell you a story about me and Robin. We went to a restaurant. This is so funny. Robin and I went to a restaurant the other day just to have a little bite, just to eat some lunch. And while we were there, she went to give her order. And this waitress, Robin goes, I believe I would like to have a a cheese steak and cheese sub, and before she could say anything more, the waitress was going, and pickles, do you know, and I'm like, you know, let her talk, okay? And she just was rushing. Robin's going, yes, yes, no, yes, 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 you know. And I'm sitting there like, what the world, you know? And so I looked at this little waitress and I said, are you in a hurry? And she said, no, we're open to 8 o'clock. And I looked at her and I said, this is what I did. I said, slow down. I put my hand in her face and said, slow down. And we got really good service after that. So just to let you know, I can be a little direct. But anyway, after teaching the people some hard things, a lot of them turned and left Jesus. So he asked his disciples, his 12, he said to them, do you want to go away? Do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Jesus has all your answers. So where else are you going to go? To some kind of fortune teller? That's ignorance gone to seed. I'm just going to tell you what that is. She's going to take your money and run down to McDonald's and eat, because that, you know, she just gave you a false prophet thing. And plus, you open up a door to the devil when you do that mess. Romans 6 and 12 says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Don't put yourself into a position where you are exposed to the same activities that you once did. If you had a problem with being around certain people, around certain women, then get out of there. I'm just saying it. Potiphar's wife, she came after Joseph, and she reached out and grabbed his coat, and he left it with her. He got out of there. And let me just tell you, I'm just saying this, like I said. You need to be careful, even on your job. If there's some sweet young thing coming around and fluttering her eyes at you, get out of there. Get out of there. You don't have to hang around her. She says, can I have lunch with you because my husband's so mean to me. Look at her like a rattlesnake that she is. I don't know if I shared this with you or not before, but Jesse DePlanta said that how he was out shopping somewhere and this prostitute came up while Kathy was in the store. And his wife was in the store, and he was right outside the store. This little woman came up to him and started trying to seduce him. And you know what he said? He looked at her, and he goes, whore of Babylon! Whore of Babylon! And she went running out of the building. You need to treat sin like what it is. Don't try to be nice. And I've said it before, if you bring a rattlesnake in, it bites you. You knew it was a snake when you brought it in. Romans 6, 1 through 9 says, well then, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? You can't live in sin and serve Jesus Christ. It's not going to happen. Make a choice. Since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. So therefore, don't keep looking it up. Don't keep going after it. We are sure of this because Christ has raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. And because death has no power over Jesus, then we are in Christ Jesus and sin no longer has any power over you. And we need to say every day, sin has no dominion over me. If you're having problems with sin, you just start opening up your mouth and releasing your faith by saying, sin has no dominion over me. Baptism represents Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. When you go down into the water, it represents the death of Jesus Christ. When you're under the water, and we're not going to hold you long, really, we won't. I won't hold you down until I see bubbles. I promise. I'll bring you up before then. When you come up from the water, it represents the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, but when you're under the water, it represents the burial. When you come up, it represents the resurrection. It's starting a new life in Jesus and leaving your old life behind. This is what baptism is. And I'm going to make this short, but there's a few examples of in the Bible of the different ones that were baptized. One of them was Jesus. And we know that when Jesus had been baptized, he came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I'm telling you, now Jesus didn't have to repent of any sins or anything like that, but I believe that Jesus was sort of leaving his old life of being a carpenter's son and all of that, and he was going forth into his new life as being the Messiah and being the healer and being Jesus. So, and also, then right after he was baptized, something else important happened. The sky was torn apart. The heavens broke through. The power of the Holy Spirit is sent from God the Father and descends on Jesus. And that's when God says, "This is my beloved in whom I am well pleased." So we see that Jesus' baptism was powerful. And I got to tell you, Tommy was mentioning it this morning. I've got to tell you that I have heard about people coming up out of the water speaking in tongues. I've heard about people being, that they were not filled with the Holy Spirit when they went in, but when they came out, they were filled up with the Holy Ghost. It's a powerful thing. Paul and Silas. I'm just going to make this quick, but when Paul and Silas, they were thrown into prison, and they were, and you know the story how that they were, you know, they were in there, and all of a sudden they just started singing praises to God at the midnight hour. If there was ever a time when they could have sat back and said, "Oh, I don't know why this happened. I never had this kind of problem when I was a sinner. I never had a bad day like this when I was a sinner." But you know what? Your worst day as a Christian is better than your best day as a sinner. So they started singing praises to God, and all of a sudden the jailhouse, you know, Elvis Presley used to sing "Jailhouse Rock." Well, that actually happened. And that jailhouse started rocking, and all the doors started opening to all the prisoners' rooms. And so the jailer, see, back then, if you lost one out of your jail, they would kill the jailer. They would kill him for letting it happen. And he runs in, and he goes, he fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. He went to draw his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called out with a loud voice saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we're all here." And then he called for a light, ran and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all that were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately him and his family were baptized the same night. They got saved and baptized the same night. So we see that this must be important. Then I'm thinking of one more, of Philip and the eunuch. The story about Philip and the eunuch, let me just read it to you. "As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south.'" Hey, that's a word right there, go south. Yeah, come this winter, I might be taking a little vacation. But anyway, so "as for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, 'Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. And the eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning, and he's seated in his carriage. He's reading out loud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk along beside the carriage. And so Philip ran over, heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. And Philip asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man replied, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And so he urged Philip to get up in the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture he had been reading was about Jesus, that said he was led like a lamb to the slaughter, a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants, for his life was taken from the earth? So the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else? So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here's the water. What hinders me from being baptized? And then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. See, there again, you get saved first, you accept Jesus Christ as your heart in your heart life, then you are baptized. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. You got to understand that back in those days, in the early church, it was one thing to hang around with Christians, but if you decided to repent and to especially be baptized, it meant that you could be persecuted, hated, despised, and very, very possible death. So it was a very serious thing. But you know what? When you go down in the water, when you're baptized today, the Bible says in Matthew 10:32, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. So by being baptized, you are confessing Jesus as your Lord before all of us. Acts 2 and 38, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So what is repentance exactly? The word repentance means a reversal, to reverse from the direction of sin, a reversal of sin. Many Christians are just rewinding their sins and repeating them again and again. I don't want to show hands, but is that true? They're repeating that same sin over and over and over again. But you have the power of God inside of you. You've got the greater one on the inside of you. You don't have to yield to that junk. You don't have to yield to fear. You don't have to yield to every time the devil says, okay, now you need to do this, you bow your knee to him. When you do these things, you are bowing your knee to the enemy of God. But you say, well, what am I going to do? I just don't know what to do. That's when you call on the Lord and you say, help me. Please help me, Lord, because your word says, the Lord is my helper. I can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And he will be there for you, and he'll make a way of escape. It may be that just about the time that you're getting ready to do whatever it is you're going to do, a phone call will come in, and that's your way of escape. I heard about one woman who made a big chocolate cake. She was trying to lose weight, and she had prayed and asked God to help her. So she had this big chocolate cake, this cake, and she was getting ready to move it from one counter to the other. Y'all know what happened? Boom, right down on the floor. Her way of escape. I guess it would have been for me. I might have picked up some off the top there, you know, off the part that didn't hit the floor. But then I haven't been prayed for that. So anyway, but, you know, no, we need to all pray about that. At Philippians 1 and 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it into the day of Jesus Christ. Do you know that Jesus wants you to be saved more than you do? He wants to help you be an overcomer more than you want to be helped. All you have to do is call on him. It would be a terrible thing for a newlywed couple to get back from their honeymoon, and then the bride invites her old boyfriend over. There's something wrong with that picture. There'd be some hurting going on. She obviously didn't understand the commitment she made before God, her husband, and others. There are too many Christians that are trying to see how close they can live to the world and yet still say, I'm a Christian. There's a lot of that going on. And I'm telling you what, Jesus is coming. He is coming so soon. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we don't have time to dabble over here and say, well, you know what, I know so-and-so does it, so-and-so does it. There's a lot of people that do things that God won't let me do. Because, and am I trying to sound like a Pharisee? Good grief, no. There's things that There's movies that sometimes I'll turn on to watch because everybody's like, oh, you got to see this. Oh, it's so good. Yeah. I turn it on and God's like, no. No. And I want to say, but Sister Holy Mo was watching it and God don't care. Because let me tell you, for me and then for you also, the longer you walk this path, the more narrow it gets. And how bad do you want more of Jesus? Are you willing to lay some stuff down? I think we ought to have a bonfire out in the back some night. And everybody bring your stuff that you need to get rid of. All right, moving along. I see some dirty looks coming my way. So I don't want to smell no tar and feathers after church. All right. It's a commandment of the Lord to be baptized. Matthew 28:18-20, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Spirit, and preaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the end of the age. So we see here this morning that being baptized is very sacred, not to be taken lightly. It identifies us with Christ Jesus, that he died for our sins, and by faith, we believe his blood atoned for our sins and are washed away. You know, let me make something clear to you. When you get saved, your sins are not covered, you know, because then they would still be there. Your sins are washed away. They're gone. And if you try to go to Jesus tomorrow and say, you remember that sin I did? You remember how bad that was? And if you've already confessed it to him, he's going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh, he's a good God. He's good. He's on your side. He wants you to win. He wants you to make it to heaven. He wants you to have a successful life here on earth. But you've got to make a choice. Will it be Jesus or will it be who? Who's back here that's pulling you away from a relationship with Jesus Christ? Who is it? Whoever it is, not everybody that's in your past belongs in your future. I want everyone to stand, please. No moving around right now. I would like for you to close your eyes, bow your heads. No looking around, no moving around. Just, it's God's time right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're here this morning and you've never asked Jesus Christ into your heart and life, I would love to have the privilege of introducing you to him. He's wonderful. He's so wonderful. Or maybe you're here and you used to live for Jesus, but you're like the prodigal son. You've left the Father's house, but you want to come back. You want to come back to the Father's house. And I have good news for you this morning. You can come back home to the Lord. He is waiting for you. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. This is Jesus talking here. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. The Bible says that he that comes to me, Jesus said, he that comes to me, I will no wise cast out. So this morning, please understand, Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. But the thing is that the doorknob is on the inside. You're the only one that can open the door. You're the only one that can let Jesus in. With all heads bowed and every eye closed, my question to you this morning is there anyone here that you'll say, I want to open the door of my heart. I want to ask Jesus into my heart and life. I want to ask him to come in and to be the Lord of my life. Is there anyone here? You're the only one that can open the door. But Jesus said, I'll come in. I'll come in and abide with you. I'll make my home with you. Is there anyone this morning? You'll say, Pastor, I want to open the door to my heart to Jesus. I need him to come into my life. Just raise your hand. If that's you this morning, raise your hand. This could be the best day of the rest of your life. This is an eternal moment right now. All eternity. Is there anyone this morning, you say, I really want to get saved this morning. I want to ask Jesus to come in my heart and life. I want to come back to the Lord. I see those hands. Is there anybody else? Anyone else? You're saying maybe you've been a Christian, but you've grown a little cold. You've just been busy. You've been very distracted. I know about that. I know all about that. It's very easy to get distracted, but you just want to kind of rededicate your life to Him this morning. If that's you, I would like for you to just raise your hand just right now. We're going to pray for you. Yes. Anyone else?